So hello. Welcome, please sit down. Calm down, enjoy yourselves. Have your coffees ready. So hello, I'm Susanna Onnes. I've been working with Wikimedia projects in Finland. And this one that I'm presenting is a project commissioned by the Institute for the Languages of Finland. And this is a place names place historical, not necessarily historical, place names archive for names that have been collected over a 100-year period, and how the material is in the format of such such cards, and there are 3 million of them. The institute has already digitized all of these, and all of the maps where the notes from each of these locations are. And we, together with Niklas Lagström, who most of you probably know, we have been starting a project to wikify them. So the wiki approach means two things. On one hand, we are connecting to the web of knowledge, connecting the data to other repositories of geographic data. And on the other hand, this will become a crowdsourcing platform to ask people about their experiences, about their memories of these places, and also correct information that has been faulty for some reason in the making. So let me click here. So this is actually the site itself. It's in a very raw format already, but it exists. And these are notes for myself to remember what I'm going to show you. So here, a map is a key element, anyway, in showing these notes. And there's GeoServe and Postis, the database to serve the data. But this is not now a search, but sort of simulating one, and the place names are plotted on the map. And here, there's only one showcase item to show these cards in the how they are going to appear on the page. So through this, we can access the page, which is then sort of an info page for this note. And let me see. So these are mock-ups for how the website will eventually look. Second. So I just translated it for convenience. We are probably not going to have English content there. This one is for such a note that has been collected over time, and we are asking the participants to, for example, link these to known places. And there are other questions also, for example, like commenting the note itself, or a way to cite the note or share on social media. And another one is this: from this information we derive locations, or like our content are notes, not places, not names. So from that, those notes, we are going to derive information about places and names. And actually, this is an interesting note that in Wikidata, a name is not a separate entity, but in our project, we make the name a separate entity. And I hope it's not going to slow down the import of this information to Wikidata, but in a way it serves us better. Also, the repository of the National Land Survey in Finland is structuring their data in that manner. So it's useful for us. And here for a place, we have another sort of question. If you want to add a name that doesn't exist already, then you can write the name and then do some automatic checkings whether it exists or not, and connect to those or not. and then do some freeform storytelling about the place. And I think that's it. I planned for 5 minutes.
We have time for some questions, maybe two. Anybody interested in having a question?
Well, this technology, working with Wiki, I didn't show you that it's a wiki base. It's not a wiki only. So if you feel like working with such projects and feel like maybe developing for such a project, we would really love to have some assistance.
Okay, very nice. And yeah, we can do some catching up if there are no questions. And thank you very much for your talk. And we're going to have our next speaker now.
Thank you.
So while the slides are loading, and I'm going to give a little introduction. In March, I was in Suriname, which is a northern eastern country, which is a country in the northern east of the South America. And I gave some Wikidata hackathons there and some talks and an experiment with Wikipedia Serial. Who here is familiar with Wikipedia Serial? Great. So Wikipedia Serial is a project of the Wikimedia Foundation, where it collaborates with various mobile telephone providers to give free access to, or zero fee access to, content of Wikidata, of Wikimedia Foundation products. If you're on a mobile device and you access a Wikipedia page, it is visible with a banner on top which says you are on a Wikipedia page free of charge from the provider. This is unfortunately not visible on Wikidata. It's only on Wikipedia, but Wikidata, Wikicommons, it all apply. The zero rate all applies on the Wikipedia Wikipedia Zero. Here are the countries that are where Wikipedia Zero is active. So a bit about Suriname. Who knows here about Suriname? Existence. What language do they speak there? It's Dutch, English. It's a country of about 500,000 inhabitants. It has quite a diverse population, both in ethnicities and languages. And together with British Guiana, it's the only two countries in South America who speak a non-Latin-based language. And until 1975, it was a Dutch colony. So I went there because I was working with Daniel and others in the community on the CCAP corpus, and I thought there is a high chance I will be infected with Zika. I want to know about if I'm being infected, what are the signs, what should I look for. And before I went there, there was one case in Holland of yellow fever, the same thing. There was suddenly one person at the airport in Holland that it was infested with yellow fever. So what's the case? Can I get access to data on Zika in Suriname and add it to the Zika corpus? That was my goal of this trip. So how is the coverage? I couldn't find a coverage map of the provider in Suriname, but I took this picture. This was in the middle of the rainforest. I spent 2 days there adding data to Wikidata. This was my office. and this was my hardware. I had a MiFi router, I had a tablet, and energy, and that was all I had. I needed to get access to Wikipedia and even edit. So here is one example of an entry. I made a picture with the tablet, which is immediately at location added to Wiki Commons, and then at location also annotated with what the locations is using a specific using Wikipedia Zero and an app on my iPhone, which we could argue whether that's strict or not. I only wanted to show that you can use hardware at location to immediately add data to Wikidata. Another exercise is with some friends. We went to the local zoo and we start adding local names to Wikipedia entries. So on a personal level, it was all fun. We could add, it was almost like a holiday, although I was there for three sessions on Wikipedia and Wikidata. So we held three introductory sessions on Wikidata for different audience, trying to get the world engaged, to get the local community engaged. And that also was fun. There was a lot of energy and people were interested. But then we ran into the challenges. At the end of the trip, I didn't find any data on mosquitoes. So there was no local data that I could find. The first question in every talk was, how do I make money out of this? So there is an economic crisis going on. It's together with Venezuela, has the highest inflation in South America currently. And access is mostly through mobile devices. I took a screen dump from Chica from the Telegram yesterday, which clearly makes this point. You cannot use the mobile app to work on Wikidata or on Wikipedia. There is one difference in a tablet. You can switch off the mobile version and go to the desktop. That's some sort of work. But I mean, I think to improve data collection, we might want to work on more mobile entry devices. Health data is largely part maintained by foreign organizations. So when I asked for Sika data, I was like, talk to the Pan American Health Organization, talk to this university there, talk to that university over there. But I couldn't get access to the data. So concluding, I think to get this theory forward, we need more narrative. So introductions of what examples to get the community rolling, and hackathons are instrumental in getting data into Wikidata, but we only had three. So I think we need many, many, many more on hackathons to get data in underrepresented areas. And I end with the acknowledgements of what made this trip interesting and successful. Thank you for the talk. Are there questions?
Can you just say a few words on how you finally did manage to link some Zika data to Wikidata?
Yes, I made a corpus. I went to PubMed, I went to Wikisite, and I made a Wikisite corpus from institutions in Suriname. So indeed, I should have added that to that as well. So we used existing data in a Wikisite using Scolia to demonstrate what local institutes have as output in this area, and to indeed derive author citation graph. But that was not data that came from local data. So still it fits the...
I just wanted to ask if you put your slides on Commons. So
could you put your slides onto Commons, please, so we can collect all of them in one place?
Sure.
Thank you.
Just did I understand you right that you can do the zero only for Wikipedia, and if you want to make Wikidata edit, so you do it using Wikipedia, right?
No.
Or can you do it immediately also?
You can do it immediately, only it doesn't show as a banner.
Ah, okay. So
this was indeed a concern for me as well, because I was intended to go on a hackathon and use it a lot. But then I got confirmation, and I checked my bill at the end, and I can confirm it applies.
So for 53 countries can use it, also Wikidata, to edit zero.
Yes, there is one concern there. It's only a specific set of. There are two providers in Suriname, and only one has affiliations with the Wikimedia Foundation.
So the general notion of zero rating has gained many people saying, okay, you're basically making, let's say, a charitable case out of zero rating that is in general considered very controversial, if not to say problematic, for the development of the internet as a whole. How do you reply to these people?
That's a good question. So it's about net neutrality. No, it's not net neutral because you have there. The only thing is, but it's a very. I think more thought needs to be in that. You have different initiatives. Facebook also has a similar scheme, so you can go on to on. But so there are many others who use the same scheme. Also, if you go to Suriname, you will see announcements by Facebook saying that you can use. Facebook entries for free, but not from the Wikimedia Foundation, but that's the light answer. But the message that I want to say in my talk is actually that Wikipedia Zero really helps, and it does a lot, but it doesn't help yet in getting more data in. It allows access to the content, but we are not there yet in terms of getting more involvement from the community there. There is more needed than only Wikipedia Zero. But that's the main point of this talk, and indeed, there are controversies with Wikipedia Zero. You could argue that the competition needs to be improved as well, so that you don't need Wikipedia Zero in the end. But it's now an incentive that helps in. So the hardware is there, but now we need to think of how to get it used.
Time allows for one more question. Do we have any? Okay. Thank you very much. Warming up.
Hi everyone, I'm Purnima Badrinath. I'm going to be talking about the efforts that we are doing for multilingual maps. So I'm just going to ask you a few questions. Like, imagine if we have, if we could access maps in our own language. So the map data becomes accessible for millions of people worldwide in the comfort of their own language. So is it possible to build a map which is readable by everyone? Is Wikidata kind of an answer to that? So Wikidata is available in all major languages, but you cannot build a map using Wikidata. But what if you actually had an updated map that could be linked with Wikidata for us to get the access to this map's data? Ta-da! So Wikidata and OpenStreetMap. OpenStreetMap is the largest crowdsourced map. It's fondly known as the Wikipedia of maps. And you can actually find a lot of users editing on OpenStreetMap on a daily basis. So they are two collaborative open data projects, and if you link an OSM feature to a Wikidata ID, you are actually unlocking huge amount of details. And if you actually go to, this was an example taken of the Berlin page on Wikidata, and it has insane amount of details being added to that. And in the last, if you can see, there are so many translations of the place Berlin in so many different languages. Wikidata. The ID is Q64, and we have 85% of the world's cities already have a Wikidata tag. So imagine all these Wikidata, cities have a translation that's attached to it. There are so many people who can access major places or major city details on their maps. So advantages of having linking an OSM feature to Wikidata is we have a centralized database. It just makes it easier to query, has a designated ID that helps like preventing redundancy, and it just makes it very easy to like search for the feature and check what are the things that we have already on that. And also Wikidata actually like enables to like access or add other important information, just makes cool maps and a lot of other data that you can actually probably add it to the map data, saying like these are the locations of where the films were shot, or these are the most popular films that's been shot in that particular area. So how is it like powering multilingual maps? It's basically like every feature linked to the Wikipedia has like a translations for the same, and it's just easier to query all the languages that we have for the map. And this is one of the maps that was created by one of my colleagues, which just like shows like a lot of translations that's been present for the particular map and in like particular place and how many other languages that's been translated in. Why make a map multilingual? To bridge the gap, like to make the map data accessible for millions of people worldwide. And it just makes it easier for people to read and understand and like move around comfortably in their own language. So we have so much of diversity on OpenStreetMap already, with so many languages being shown on the map. And what are we right now trying to build in Mapbox is we are trying to make a map that's readable by world's most popular language, enabling a wider user case. And this is like the Mapbox map right now that we have, and so many other languages being shown. So how are we doing it? We are actually adding or sourcing translations for all the major places that's available. We're building workflows and sustainable models to scale this process. We're editing the Wikidata tags or adding for newly Wikidata translations and coordinating with the community in validating those translations before uploading them onto Wikidata. So this is like a very small process, like flowchart of how the process is done. We add translation or we source them via a lot of other freelancers and community members. We upload them to Wikidata. Then the Wikidata ID gets assigned, or it's like combined with an already present Wikidata ID, and some Sparkle queries, and it actually provides the map with the translations. So what are we doing here is like World Translation Project is a community-driven effort to like translate every prominent and important place in the world to all the major languages. So we're linking the Wikidata and Wikipedia to make the translations easily accessible. So we have around 200,000 translations so far, out of which 100,000 translations have already been uploaded onto Wikidata, and in 35 different languages, and we have contributors from all over the world. And how does it work is basically make a list of the places worldwide, converting them into a CSV for like an easier access, sourcing the translations list to contributors worldwide, using a tool called PyWikiBot and Wikidata Uploader to upload the source translations, and it's good to use on the map. How can you contribute? Here's how. We have already given the link for the World Translation Project. You can actually go check that out. And you can help us by adding translations or reviewing translations and validating the already present translations, and also helping us by suggesting and improvising the workflow that's already present. If you want to get in touch with us, thank you.
You said that you have done on the order of 200,000 translations, of which half are on Wikidata already. Can you explain a bit why only half? What's the process that is blocking this?
Yeah, so we have like so many lists of world places already, and we source them onto like we actually ask people to like source the translations for us. And there's this huge process like where we need to like make sure that the translations that we are uploading onto Wikidata is actually accurate. So we do the review twice. So whenever we upload, like we actually source, there's one process happening for sourcing translations. And we actually contact another, probably like another community member or a freelancer who's willing to review all those translations that's present. And then it goes onto the uploader, where it takes minimum 4 days for it to like upload around 10,000 translations. So that is the reason why it's taking a little bit of time, the entire process, but we are getting there to upload all the translations that we have so far sourced.
And for the sources that you're using, do you just indicate a URL, or do you have a data model? Do you set up items for those kind of things? Because that would be within Wikisite, and so we could even collaborate maybe.
Yeah, the details of that uploading thing will be it's present on the World Translation Project website. We have been uploading onto that, all the uploads is present on that source, so it's open. So it's open for everyone to just like go check it out, or probably like if you want to like contribute or review the translations that's already been present for the languages, you can do so.
Hi, this is Dario from the Wikimedia Foundation. Very exciting ideas about cross-integration of projects. I'm curious to hear if you have any explored any ideas for simplifying the reuse of the same login across projects, something like via OAuth to allow you to use the same account basically across multiple projects. And the second one is, does any plan to do machine imports either from OSM into Wikidata or from Wikidata into OSM at a large scale, if there are any plans to do this more systematically?
Oh, okay. Like first thing, we are actually trying to move the entire uploading system to like an open page so that it's accessible by everyone. And the only problem is like we just want to make sure the translations that's been uploaded onto Wikidata would be accurate. That's the reason why we just have one account right now that's uploading. And we yet don't have large scale machine learning plans for like probably like taking the data from another source as of now. But we are trying to like figure out the ways that we can actually do that and probably like scale this entire process to a different level.
We have time for one more question. Anybody? Okay. Oh. I'm sorry.
Thank you. You talked about translating the names of places, towns and cities. What about the names of features like hotels and railway stations and smaller objects?
Yeah, that's down the lane actually for the plan. Right now we're actually making all the world places and all the major cities accessible in all the languages that we have. And then we are going to move on to the POIs and hotels because that's a huge amount of data and we're still not sure what to do with that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. We just heard about two databases connected to Wikidata and OpenStreetMap, and I show the broader picture of much more databases we have connected, and these are all connected via identifiers. So I looked at all identifiers in Wikidata. So what do I mean? We have this internal identifiers, the QID or PID, I don't mean that, but there are three kinds of identifiers. First, we have some items about identifiers. For instance, there's an item about the whole ISBN system. ISBN, the identifiers for books. Or for ISO 3166 alpha code. Then there are properties. These are used to link. For instance, there's a property for the OSM database ID that can be linked to Wikidata. And often there's a correspondence. So for instance, there's an item about ISBN, and there's a property about ISBN 13. But there's another property about ISBN publisher prefix. So it's not one to one. So sometimes there are multiple properties and only one item. And so there are items, properties, and third, there are some identifier values. First, all the in the statements, all values, so the ISBN numbers, the actual strings, are identifier values that can be extracted and reused. And there are some items that are also values. For instance, normally zip code is only a simple string or a number, but there I found one zip code that has its own item. So there are, in Wikidata, there are always exceptions. So a deeper look at the identifier items first. There are also different kinds of identifier items. First, there are some items about whole systems with identifiers. For instance, GeoNames database or OpenStreetMap has its own item because there's a Wikipedia article about it. And then there's a corresponding identifier property. Or sometimes, as I said, there's one item about the ISO standard, and then there are multiple properties because there's not only one identifier system, but multiple defined. Yeah, but it's not as simple as this. Sometimes we have a Wikidata item not about the database, but about the identifier system or the kinds of identifiers in it. So surprisingly, for instance, ORCID identifier. ORCID is a system for researcher identifiers to identify authors of scientific papers. And there's no Wikipedia article or no Wikidata item about ORCID in general, about the database, but only about the company that runs ORCID and about the identifiers that are assigned. So in this case, we don't have an item about the database, but only about the identifiers. And that's not exactly the same. And so, for another example, we don't have, we have an item about the Australian business number and the property, but we don't have an item about who runs this registry of numbers or where do these numbers come from. And this little bit this Bonnie and Clyde problem with identifier system. So we don't always want to have two items for each kind of identifier in Wikidata. But that's later will come some problems about from this. Yeah, then we have some individual identifiers, but these are the exception. The problem is how to classify them. And we have identifier classes, so types of identifiers. For instance, we want to get a list of all language identifiers. So there's one item language identifier. But if we have a database of languages, is this an instance of a language identifier, or does it make use of a language identifier? So ontology in Wikidata always complicated. So these are the items. And the properties are more, we can make more direct use of it. So first, Lydia always told that the majority of all properties in Wikidata are identifiers. So almost 60% of all properties we have are identifier properties. But what is an identifier property? We would say every property with a data type external identifier. The data type was only introduced later in Wikidata. But there are also some properties that have another data type. So, for instance, just a plain string or URL, or even one with a data type quantity. Maybe this data type needs to be changed, or maybe it's just an exemption. And we have these properties are classified as subclass or as instance of Wikidata property for unique identifier, but not all of them are in this category. So maybe we need to put them all together and make a rule that every identifier property needs to be classified there. But right now it's not the case. So the current classification of properties is rather arbitrary. For instance, we have a class for identifiers about horses. That's the way it grows naturally from bottom up. But it's not a big problem. A more problem is we have a property about items, properties, a class of properties about people, and another class properties special to identify people. So the name of a person is different than the identifier in the database of people. So this also needs some cleanup to make reliable numbers how many identifiers we actually have. And even more problematic especially interested in classifying types of identifiers. So for instance, identifier about people or but there we have no consensus yet because some say an identifier is a string, and some say an identifier is an identifier system, and some they say the identifier is a company that runs this registry. So the problem of merging having two items for each of the systems. So why is this important at all? So we can use Wikidata as linking hub. So there are several thousand identifier types of identifiers in Wikidata and more out there. And instead of creating mappings between all of them, Wikidata is becoming more and more a hub. So every database is linked to Wikidata, and we have a lot of use cases where I'm not interested in Wikidata, but in two systems I want to connect, and then use Wikidata as a hub, just not to do every connection on my own. So I have a project where we collect some of these links, and you can get simple CSV files. Okay, so to summarize, there are some open questions how to handle identifier systems or the databases that have identifiers, because it's not the same. And maybe we need some cleanup in the classification of proper types of properties with Wikidata, with properties. And yeah, I use some tools and can recommend some tools. Most of this is summarized at the page Wikidata identifiers, which I created. And I hope some of you will join there the discussion so we can do the cleanup and improve the overview of identifiers in Wikidata. Thanks.
Thank you, Jacob. We have time for two questions. Do we have any?
Okay. Thank you very much for your
here.
Do you have time later to discuss some of the things here?
Sure.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Anybody else? Okay, thank you very much.
I'm not sure if I understood correctly why you think there's a problem with having an identifier for, in the example you used, for ORCID as an organization and another for the ORCID identifier itself. They're very different concepts, and the point of Wikidata is that we describe concepts separately. So can you elaborate on why you think that's a problem or how you would like to solve it?
Yeah, because the corresponding Wikipedia article normally handles both, and we with several thousand identifier properties, it's some work to make sure that if we decide we want two items for each of this, that these are all connected in the right way. But it could be the best decision and a bit more work to have two items for each. Yeah, in some cases it's very artificial to create an additional item for this abstract concept of the set of all identifiers in contrast to the identifier system. Yeah. Okay. Next.
So as you have.
Hello, everyone. I'm sorry, I don't have slide because I have two computers dying on me this week. So that seemed like a bad idea. So I just wanted to show you like a beautiful picture. So no really loss. I wanted to speak about the pleasure of ontologies. So I don't know how many of you know what an ontology is. Yeah, most of you are Wikidatians, so that's great. How many of you have already worked on ontologies on Wikidata and not only add data? Yeah, some of you. Yeah, great. So I personally think it's one of the most attractive part of Wikidata. It's like we are creating the order of the world, and that's really, really a powerful thing. And one of the things which make me not really leave Wikipedia, because I am still a Wikipedian, but make Wikidata my principal project, is that I was really, really touched by the ontology making part of Wikidata. And I remember that when I began on Wikidata, I was just cleaning up sitelinks, because I was cleaning up sitelinks on Wikipedia before, and it was great because we didn't have to fight bots on Wikidata, so yes, great progress. And I remember that with another French Wikipedian, we were like, sometimes we don't know what the items are about, so maybe we can add statements so it's easier to understand what it's about. So I was like, yes, it may help me clean up my sitelinks, so I will start to add statements. That was the beginning, and then you are like,
I can add statements without understanding what I am doing. So, yeah, I was... I don't have the term in English, but yes, I started working as a Wikidatian then in 2013, and we didn't have any idea what an ontology was. I don't know if any of you remember what it was like in 2013, but we were creating properties without a global idea of what we were doing, because we needed it like right now to do some cleanup. So we were creating that, and if it won't work, we will delete it later. And we deleted many of the first properties. And I think for me, I am an historian, I have no idea what a database was when I start. Being part of that was really wonderful, because it changed literally the way I thought of the world. And sometimes we had good ideas, because we actually went with some specific problem and we were like, we need to separate edition from books because it doesn't make sense on Wikisource otherwise. So we remade organically ontology which was already existing, but we didn't know existed because many of us didn't even know the name of ontology. And we really good ideas, because they were actually good ideas. And sometimes we had really bad ideas, like we thought it would work like the common category systems, so with many interaction in places, like you would have a battle of middle age, which sometimes you don't even know what battle is. Is it a skirmish? Is it a battle? Is it something? It's complicated. And middle age, you don't know the geographical part of the world it's about. You don't know the time constraints. I'm an historian. You can have a debate of what middle age means. And we were like, actually, if we want to use the data on Wikidata, we need to keep it simple. Simple, simple. No battle of middle age. Battle and the location and the date. And now, 5 years later, I know what ontology are. I'm working on cleaning up ontology. I'm working with other projects about ontologies. And I think that our system, which was dirty, actually laid some really good results. It means like when you are doing work with total newbies on Editaton and they have a Wikidata page, and most of the time they understand what they are doing. And that's great. I don't know if any of you who are not ontology specialists have ever read a real clean ontology. Most of the time you need 3 hours to understand what you should be doing in the clean system, even if the clean system is really clean and more powerful. But Wikidata is sometimes easier. And yeah, I just wanted to discuss that. So any of you have the same pleasure when you clean up constraints and you are like, I made the world better? Yes? Yeah. Question.
We have time for 2 questions.
So your talk is music to my ears. I was wondering, and it's a bit of a rhetorical question, if you would consider, we talk about Wikidata as the hub in the linked data. We are discussing as Wikidata being the hub in the linked data, what your view is on Wikidata being the hub in the ontology space?
Actually, I had a funny thought at Wikimania, because someone made a really, really good ontology about theater work. And I did mostly the same thing, not that great, not with almost details, but 2 years ago, because I needed it 2 years ago. And I think Wikidata may not be the place to create clean ontologies, but we have the need
right now, and we know what we need. So maybe we can ask specialists, like, we really need someone to puff on that. And we need help not on detailed items, because we have a good idea. We need help for upper ontologies, like what are the link between art, genre in English, is that the correct name? Genre? Art, genre, work, that is not clean at all.
No, but to add to that, so why am I enthusiastic? I came from, I'm working in what's called, sometimes we organize BYOD sessions in the medical space where people bring in their medical data, and we lose a lot of time in making ontologies and in half a day, and people think it's easy. So
no,
just,
it's not easy.
Just 2 months ago, we decided to skip in the first session the ontologies and focused completely on Wikidata properties, and that's really working well. And the next step is so going from Wikidata to other ontologies, so creating the mappings there, and that's
I think it's actually what we are doing. So it's we are when we start project on Wikidata, we are starting with already existing data we need to clean up. So we are listing existing properties, and then we are like, we are missing these properties, so we need to add that, because we have literally no way to add this data correctly in the already existing system. So we are creating ontologies. I think you should search wiki projects, because most wiki projects have an ontology page, which is not always named ontology page, but with a property list, with all the system should work. Not always work, but should work theoretically. So you know that people working on this subject are cleaning up to this system. And if you have a problem with this ontology, which should already written somewhere, then you know the people to contact to say, I actually have a big problem with your ontology, because I have this case doesn't work. Hope I'm still in time.
Super quick comment. I just want to say, like, right now, data modeling on Wikidata sucks.
Yes.
It's really, really hard. Data models are built on talk pages, on mailing lists, even on Twitter. Believe it or not, there are people discussing how to model a property on Twitter. And I think that we, you know, it's you, but also many other people here in the room.
Not just you.
And I think, like, it would be fantastic if people who feel strongly about the need of better interfaces for building models could get together and figure out what they should look like.
I think it's more complicated than that. We have a problem with general discussion page. So you have discussion page on project, you have discussion page in your language, you have discussion page on the property page, you have discussion page everywhere, and no one see everything. So personally, I use the wiki project page, because they are thematic, and so generally people have a good idea of what are the need of this subject. But it's really not only about ontologies. It's a general problem on Wikidata, so no magical solution here. But we have an ontology project. So if you, maybe Baseb is the best place, but sorry, no time.
Sorry for cutting into your discussion, but we have to stick to the time schedule. Thank you, Ammonia.
Okay. Yeah, so my topic is Wikidata, or the role of Wikidata in emergency response. Well, that's good enough. I just put my... I don't like slides too much, so I just edited my submission page. Oh, it's irritating that I can't see. Well, please duplicate. I have a hard time understanding what people tell to me. I actually want to raise another. I had a comment on the previous talk while we were discussing. So there are a number of properties that have vanished, and that actually is a concern to reusers. We are now getting more and more reuse, and I think I would like to start a discussion about whether we shouldn't actually keep
the old properties and just mark them as deprecated. But I didn't find a good place to start that discussion. So I have actually an item in my to-do list on GitHub to think about ways to start the discussion on Wikidata. I found that strange. And so I just used the opportunity while I have the mic in my hand to insert that thought into your brains. And now back to Wikidata and emergency response. So the basic idea here is we are already interacting with disasters in many ways. Well, to some extent, we certainly contribute, but let's not talk about these. If there is an earthquake, if there is a flood, a hurricane, whatever, a disease outbreak, we will do like things like starting Wikipedia articles, updating the list of those disasters in certain contexts, and starting Wikidata items, starting Wikimedia Commons categories, maybe an occasional Wikinews item, sometimes updating Wikivoyage things, and so on. This is all ad hoc and not very well coordinated. And so I was looking around, and I was involved in some of those things. I was looking around, and on some projects like English Wikipedia, they have such wiki projects. So we have wiki project disaster management. Unfortunately, it's basically non-functional for 4 or 5 years now. But they have at least left some useful traces. And in other contexts like wiki project medicine, we are regularly responding to disease outbreaks. So we did for Ebola or Zika. And it turns out that for Ebola specifically, the Wikipedia pages were actually the most accessed internet content in the countries affected, because we were the only source that actually provided the information in the language of the people who had the virus or who were treating them. Everybody else was providing really high-level, good information about the Ebola virus, but in English, Spanish, and the other languages that the people there didn't speak. And so we have an opportunity here. On the other hand, we don't really have a strong Wikimedia chapter anywhere near, and so that was a challenge. And on the other hand, we know the next outbreak will happen. We don't know where. And the same goes for earthquakes, floods, and all these kind of things. So at Wikimania, we had a session on how to make the Wikimedia activities in this space a bit more, let's say, systematic. Since we know the next earthquake is going to come, maybe we can think about what we should be doing, or what maybe just systematize what we are doing in response to an earthquake or an outbreak, and then plan for it, assign responsibilities, maybe prioritize the things that should be happening, things like that. And that wouldn't exclude anyone from doing something else, but just prioritize the activities just like a normal Wiki project does. And so during that session of Wikimania, we collected a number of ideas. You have here, you can actually still participate in that. So we have a collection of 150 ideas of what could be done in response to an emergency from the Wikimedia community. And you can rank those, and we have a ranked list. It's all linked. I don't have time to go through that. So I just picked out those that are relevant to Wikidata. So one of them is, and some others are of course, more general. I also don't have the time to go into them. So I just picked them those that actually mentioned Wikidata. One is encourage providers of disaster-related data to use Wikidata identifiers. That's good. And that actually ties into Andra's talk about the Zika outbreak, where another thing he didn't mention, he actually did try to link a number of data sets provided by national agencies about the Zika virus, where they had, for instance, gathered data from Argentina and so on, but Argentina was sometimes written this way, sometimes abbreviated and so on. And he just used the Wikidata identifier and then reconciled different data sets. So that's one idea. We could do more of that. We could think about disaster-related information in general, how where we can find it and how to model it and how to get it into Wikidata. We can index the disaster-related literature in Wikidata. That's actually part of the reason why we're having so many bot imports. So that's one of the focuses of what Wikisite does. We could seek content donations from people or organizations that have disaster-related data. Or, and let's zoom in on this one a little bit, we could propose, this was a simple one. We could propose a Wikidata property for magnitude of an earthquake. Turned out that we already had those, actually two, so here. But we could also prepare Wikidata queries around disaster-related information. And we actually started to discuss that. There is a helpful page, Request a Query on Wikidata. And there I just posted a number of ideas. So we now have some very draft queries. For instance, give me, if you know the epicenter of an earthquake, give me the total population of people that are living within 50 kilometers of there. We could do similar things. Give me a list of all hospitals or schools or bridges within 50 kilometers or whatever you care about of that epicenter. And that's the kind of things that could be, in principle, run automatically for every earthquake above a certain magnitude or above a certain population affected. And so we just need to prepare the workflow. And once the earthquake hits, then a few seconds or maybe that minute later, we have the answer. Then for some of those things, we might actually run into timeouts. And so there is now a fabricator ticket to discuss mechanisms by which we would make sure that those emergency-related queries would actually not be timed out so that we actually do get the results. And finally, in order to bring this all together, we are now organizing a series of events that are actually focused on the interaction between Wikimedia and disaster response in general. The first one is hopefully going to take place here in Berlin. I applied for funding from Wikimedia Germany, and while I don't know the outcome yet. The documentation of this is all on Meta in multiple languages. And so you're encouraged to hold those workshops in your own communities and give them your local flavor. Like if you're more affected by floods than earthquakes, then focus on floods. That's fine. My point is just to coordinate a little bit better across the Wikimedia community. And I now have one more minute. I hope you have some questions or comments.
We have time for two questions and one is already taken. In the meantime, has Gustavo arrived, the next speaker? Is he here? Ah, wonderful.
Should I go? I'm the next speaker. Should I go there?
Yeah. What do you want to do? Ask a question, right?
No.
Sorry.
Misunderstanding. My bad. Do we have questions? No? Then thank you very much. And then we can move up the schedule a bit.